Okay, everyone, this is Mark Burrell again. This is talking today, my teachings on the study of 1 Peter 2. And again, I have to make sure that I give you some of the definitions to help clarify the message that I'm giving. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that is the word kakia, Strong's number 2549, which means badness, depravity, malignity, evil, maliciousness, naughtiness, wickedness. And all guile, that word is the word dolos, which means decoy, trick, bait, wile, deceit, guile, subtlety, and hypocrisies, hypocrisia, or hypocrisis, means acting under a feigned part, deceit, hypocrisy, condemnation, dissimulation, and envies. The word there is pathomos, means ill will, jealousy, spite, envy, and all evil speaking, katalatia. Strong's number 2636 means catalalia, defamation, backbiting, evil speaking. As you can see, Peter names five things that we as believers and followers and or mimickers of Messiah's Torah, beauty, and life are not to engage in. It is noteworthy to me that Peter mentioned five evil attributes that are not that we are not to acquire. For the number five in Scripture represents Yahweh's Torah of life and His grace. For as I have said many times before, the words of our new Father's Torah of life and His grace are synonymous terms. And I believe that Peter did that purposely to show us the contrast between what the people of the world have been deceived into believing, which is a plethora of man-made oral Torahs, the world's man-made religious and or secular doctrines, their own man-made laws, the words that they have chosen to believe and follow, so that we could compare it to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, which is an inerrant and lasting truth, as opposed to the fabricated, ever-shifting truth of the world system, which is filled with depravity, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, defaming, backbiting, and evil speaking. Now, we all know that a newborn baby cannot form evil thoughts. Therefore, Peter admonishes us have the same kind of mindset and not formulate evil thoughts in our hearts and minds. Peter says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The question that we have to be asked, therefore, is what is the sincere milk of the word that Peter tells us to desire? The synonyms of the word sincere are earnest, heartfelt, honest, genuine, true, unfeigned, whole, heartfelt, and honorable. In Hebrew, it is a synonym of the word tamim, which means was ended, was finished, was completed. It means complete, perfect, innocent, without blemish, man of integrity, honest, upright, what is true. Now, before we can move on, we have to ask ourselves, how does the scripture define truth? There are quite a few ways that we have to know what is true, so that we can recognize when the people of the world, the people of the world are lying to us. Therefore, I have prepared a few verses from Scripture for us to look at. Verses that define for us what truth really is, according to Yahweh. So let's begin with what Messiah himself speaks to and pleads with our Heavenly Father in John 17, 17, where he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. In Psalm 119, 142, the psalmist says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. In Psalm 119, 151, the psalmist says, you are near, O Yahweh, and all of your commandments are truth. In Psalm 119, 160, the psalmist says, your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. There are many more verses where we are told that the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life are true, and just as many verses that tell us that the words of His Torah are perfect, that when His words are actually internalized in a person's heart, that it converts the soul. And Psalm 19, 7-11 tells us much more about what the Torah does for us, if we choose to internalize it, believe it, follow it, and obey it. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, and because it is sure, it makes the simple wise, because they have chosen to internalize our Heavenly Father's infallible wisdom, the words of His Torah of life. The statutes of Yahweh is right, and because they are right, everyone that internalizes them with the intent to obey them rejoices in their heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure because and because it is pure, one's eyes and one's understanding are enlightened to his truth. And scripture tells us that when we know the truth, it of course sets us free. The fear of Yahweh is clean, and because it is not, nor can it ever be soiled, his fear, which scripture tells us is the beginning of wisdom, will endure forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether, because they are true and righteous. The judgments of Yahweh are to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Scripture also tells us that Yahweh's judgments, the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, are sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, we, his servants, you and I, are warned. And in keeping the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, there is great reward. Why is Peter so adamant in his plea to have all of us desire the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life? So that we, you and I, may grow thereby. First of all, we have to understand that there is no apostolic scriptures in those days, what Christianity has erroneously called the New Testament. Therefore, Peter was teaching his students what he himself had garnered or learned from the Hebraic scriptures, what Christianity has erroneously called the Old Testament. Therefore, it should be obvious to all who read Peter's epistles that his teachings are based on Hebraic scriptures, the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, the words of his prophets, and all the what they call the writings, which is all the other parts of the Hebraic scriptures. It is obvious to me that Peter wants all of his students, all those that listen to and or read his words, his epistles, he wants them to grow in the knowledge of Yahweh, because he understands that if and when a person does believe, follow, and obey his teachings of the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, that person will grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Heavenly Father that is contained in the words of his Torah of life. When anyone willingly and lovingly chooses to internalize the Father's Torah, they will grow to love him more and more, because our Heavenly Father's unbounded grace and mercy will become more and more evident to anyone and everyone that willingly and lovingly chooses to internalize the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. And the more the believers will get to know him in his unending and unlimitless love that he has for all of us through his word. Verse 3, if you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious. Peter is saying that we should desire the milk or the truth of our Heavenly Father's word, the words of his Torah of life, because when a person does indeed get a taste of the Father's words of life and what it can and does do to one's soul, when a person chooses to make the word of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life a priority in their lives, when they seek out his word, his truth, they will realize that he is filled with love, grace, mercy, and he has a forgiving nature, for it is his stated wish throughout all of Scripture that not even one person perishes. As our loving Father, he wants the best for each and every one of us. He has given us his words, the words of his Torah of life, as a guide on how we can accomplish that. Because in his infinite knowledge and wisdom, he knows that if and when anyone willingly and lovingly chooses to believe, follow, and obey the words of his Torah of life, as he has commanded us to do, it activates all of his blessings upon the obedient person. And furthermore, when the Torah is indeed obeyed with a surrendered, contrite, obedient heart and loving heart, it will lead the obedient person unto the gates of the kingdom of Elohim, of our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father's eternal and everlasting kingdom here on earth, where that person will be invited to experience everlasting life at the side of our Heavenly Father and his only begotten Son, our Messiah, our bridegroom-to-be, after he or she have been judged on Judgment Day and found worthy, because like Messiah, they too chose to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's Torah of life. Verse 4, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. Here Peter compares our Messiah to a living stone. The word stone in Hebrew is the word eben, which is a composite word made up of the word av, or abba, which means father, and the word ben, which means son. Therefore, the living stone that Peter is describing here as our Messiah is actually the Father and the Son as one entity. And Peter said that that stone was rejected by the majority of the people of the world, including by members of his own family, Israel. But that stone was chosen by our Heavenly Father himself. And he goes on to say that that stone is extremely precious. The word precious is Strong's number 1784, and it's called Entimos, pronounced Entimos, or Entimos. It is from number 1722 and 1592, and it means valued, valuable, dear, more honorable, precious, in reputation, held in honor.
Next, also, wasn't it called the rock of our salvation?
Yes. Next, Peter says something that is very important. What if we don't have the right mindset? We will miss the message that Peter's conveying to us here. He says in verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua Messiah. Here Peter admonishes us to be lively stones, which means that Peter is admonishing us to be like Messiah, which means that we are to be one with the Father, which in turn means that we are to have the mind of Messiah. We are to be as focused on believing, following, obeying the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life as Messiah himself was focused on obeying him and taught us to do the same. Peter tells us that we are to be a holy priesthood. What kind of priest do you think Peter is admonishing us to be? Is it a Catholic priest, a Protestant priest, a Jesuit priest, or priests that are appointed by man? The answer, of course, is a resounding no. Peter is admonishing us to be priests, Kohen, of the Most High Elohim, obedient followers and teachers of the words of the Torah of life, priests who are mandated by our Creator to offer spiritual sacrifice. This is all well and good, but we have to ask ourselves, what are these spiritual sacrifices that you and I, as priests of the Most High Elohim, are to offer? They are sacrifices of obedience, my friends. Obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. His words that are filled with his Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father and manifest themselves when anyone willingly chooses to allow the Father's Holy Spirit to cause them to actually believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. Peter admonishes us to be living stones. And we have to understand that according to Scripture, a living stone is one that is filled with and abiding in the Father and the Son, the very same entity that has commanded us to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. Therefore, the spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer to our Heavenly Father is our unfeigned loving willingness to submit to Yahweh and lovingly believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Here Peter tells us that it is stipulated in Scripture that our Heavenly Father laid down in Sion, Yisrael, a chief cornerstone that our Heavenly Father himself chose. And then Peter tells us that the stone is elect and precious. Where does it say that in Scripture? Isaiah 28:18. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I lay in Sion a foundation stone, a ben eben, and both words mean stone. And since it is mentioned twice, the scribes have decided to call it a foundation stone. And this word eben means weight, son of. And it also is a composite word made up of the word av and father, or abba, which means father, and the word ben, which means son. And in Scripture, it refers to our Heavenly Father and his Son, our Messiah. A tried stone, a ben bokan. The word bokan means to examine, to test, to probe, was tested, was tried, distinguished, was differentiated, watchtower, examination, trial, test, examiner, assayer, auditor. A precious cornerstone, pinat yikrat, where the word pinat is from the word pina, which means corner. It does not mean cornerstone. The word stone is added. Then we have the word yikrat, which is from the word yikar, which means precious, valuable, costly, dear, rare, high price, honor, prestige. So it means precious stone, one of a kind stone, a sure foundation, musad musad, from the word yasad, to found, to establish, base, foundation, origin, source, principle, laying of a foundation. And the fact that it is repeated twice emphasizes the fact that it is a very solid foundation. he that believes shall not make haste. Hama amim lo yakish, where the word hama amim is from the word aman, which means to be firm, trustworthy, true, truth, faithfulness. So be it, truly, certainly, confidence, trust, fidelity. The word lo means no or not, and the word yakish is from the word kush, which means to make haste, very urged, inclined, prompted, accelerated. And the word adds a sense of urgency, which means that we are not to waste our time on any other doctrines, but that we are to focus on the words of the Father's Torah of life only, and then commit to believe, follow, and obey it immediately. Verse 6, continuing, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Why will they not be confounded if they believe in Messiah, the Ben, the stone? We are told why in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for Elohim is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace, as in all kahals, assemblies, ecclesias, churches of the saints. If, like Peter says, he that believes on the words of the living Torah made flesh shall not be confounded, then that means that the opposite is also true. And that is that the people who do not believe that Messiah is the words of the living Torah, Heavenly Father made flesh, will be confounded. When we read what is written in Scripture, we have to look at every aspect of what is being communicated to us, both in the positive and negative side, so that we get and understand what is communicated to us, both the positive and negative sides. The positive and negative sides, so that we can get and understand the complete message that is being conveyed to us. It goes on to say, unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. What does it mean to believe? Well, we just discussed it above, and we discovered that the Hebrew word for believe is aman, which means to be firm, trustworthy, true, truth, faithfulness, truly, certainly, confidence, trust, fidelity. Therefore, it is very obvious what Peter is telling us here. And that is that for those who know, those who have confidence in and trust in Yahweh's eternal and everlasting truth, the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, and who have chosen to be faithful to and obey the Father's words of truth, then the words of his Torah of life become more and more precious to us. However, Peter goes on to say that people who are disobedient to the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, those that have willingly chosen to reject and or discard the words of his Torah, his law, as most of the people that believe, follow, and obey the man-made doctrines of Christian Catholicism have done and continue to do, and for those that believe and follow the teachings of the rabbis and their man-made oral Torah, their man-made doctrine, who somehow believe and teach that the written Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh personally gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai has now been superseded by their own man-made oral Torah. Therefore, they toss aside many of the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah that he gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai and treat those parts that they chose to throw out as something that they believe and teach as worthless or expired and not even worthy of being considered. Furthermore, there is another caveat for the people who believe and obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, puts people in bondage. For according to Peter, this is what will happen to them. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone, the Father and the Son, which the builders disallowed, that very same stone is made the head of the corner, and it shall be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient to the words of the Torah of Moshe, whereunto also they were appointed. Peter is warning the builders who have disallowed the stone, and he is warning all of us that people who choose to ignore and discard any of the words of the Father's Torah of life, then the Torah made flesh, which is described as the head of the corner, will be a stumbling stone and a rock of offense to them for the rest of their lives, or until they learn to follow James' advice and submit to Yahweh and become subject to the Torah of Elohim, as Paul tells us in Romans 8:7. Subject yourself to the Father and start believing and obeying the words of Yahweh's Torah of life. All people have to learn to understand this very basic premise. They have to learn to resist the devil who deceived them into believing his lies in the first place. The lies that state that the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, the very same Torah that Yah himself gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai and said was forever, has somehow been changed or done away with in whole and part, and start instead to willingly believe, follow, and obey the Father's directives for everlasting life, the words of his Torah life, the very same Torah that, as I said above, was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai, the words of his Torah made flesh, or else the cornerstone, our Messiah's Torah obedient life, will continue to be a stumbling block and a rock of offense to them. Peter describes to us who the people that fall into the category of willingly, lovingly choosing to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Torah of Yahweh. Peter says in verse 8, but you, the people who have willingly and lovingly chosen to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's Torah, are a chosen generation. The only way to become part of Yahweh's chosen generation is by willingly and lovingly choosing to submit to Yahweh and allow him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, who is tasked with causing every surrendered, contrite, obedient heart that will allow him to believe, follow, and obey all the words of our new Father's Torah of life. And when anyone agrees to allow the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father to do that, then that is when that person becomes part of Yahweh's chosen generation. So in essence, we, you and I, are tasked with the responsibility of choosing to be part of Yahweh's chosen generation, a royal priesthood, priests that are appointed by Yahweh to administer his kingdom with the words of the Father's constitution, the words of his Torah, and teach other people to obey the words of the Father's Torah, as Messiah did and taught us to do. A holy nation. The word holy means to be set apart. And Yahweh has chosen all Torah obedient people and set them apart from the rest of the world so that they can do his bidding, so that they can believe, follow, and willingly and lovingly obey all the words of his Torah life, and teach other people to do the same. A peculiar people. The word peculiar is translated from the Hebrew word segula, which means possession, property, treasure, virtue, quality, remedy, choice, best, peculiar, specific. Therefore, Peter is telling us that the people who believe, follow, and obey the words of our new Father's Torah life are virtuous. They are the best, the choicest people. And by their surrendered obedience to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, they have become the possession of Yahweh. And no one, and I mean absolutely no one, can ever take them away from Yahweh. What will these people be doing according to Peter? They will be showing forth the praises of him, Messiah Yahweh, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, who is the one who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word praises is the Hebrew word yodeh, which is from the word yada, which means to confess, to give thanks, praise, lauded, which in turn means that these people who willingly and lovingly chose to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father will be confessing, praising, lauding, and giving thanks to Yahweh on a constant everyday basis. Then we have the words, his marvelous light. And we are told that Yahweh will bring all of his chosen generation, his Torah obedient people, into his marvelous light. Next, we have to ask, what is Yahweh's marvelous light? Psalm 36, 9. For with you, Yahweh, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light. This tells us that it is only by following the light of Yahweh, which of course are the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, made flesh, Messiah, that we ourselves will be able to see light. For the people that are without Messiah, the words of the living Torah made flesh, those people are actually in darkness. For scripture makes it very clear that apart from him, the light of the world, our Messiah, we can do nothing. Psalm 36, 7, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Here, light is compared to righteousness. And in Deuteronomy 6, 25, we are told it will be our righteousness if we follow and obey the words of the Torah of Yahweh. Psalm 43, 3, oh, send your light, your truth. Let your light and your truth lead me. Let your light and your truth bring me onto your holy hill and to your tabernacles. Here the psalmist is asking Yahweh to send his light, which of course is the words of our new Father's Torah life, his eternal truth in the flesh, manifested as Messiah, the light of the world, so that he, the psalmist, can see light. Psalm 97:11. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Here we are told that light, which of course is the words of our new Father's 12 light, made flesh, is sown or planted in the heart of the righteous. And we have just found out in Deuteronomy 6:24 that righteousness is only manifested when we willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of our Heavenly Father's full way. Psalm 119:25, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here we are told that the words of our Heavenly Father's full way are what guides us on our daily walk through life. And it is that light that keeps all who choose to follow it on his designated path to righteousness. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Here we are told that the words of our new Father, which make up the words of his Torah life, are the enlightenment which gives an understanding of Yahweh's heart. Proverbs 6:23, for your commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. There's absolutely no way that anyone can misunderstand this verse, for it plainly says that the Torah is light, and that the words of the Torah reprove and instruct us. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Yaakov, come and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Isaiah is admonishing the whole house of Yaakov, Israel, of whom we are a part of, to walk in the light of Yahweh, which of course is the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of light made flesh on the side. Isaiah 8:20. To the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, if they do not speak according to the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah light, it is because there is no light in them. Here Isaiah himself makes it very clear that if anyone does not speak according to the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, which means that the people somehow believe that the Torah of our Heavenly Father has been changed, abolished, or done away with in whole or in part, have no light in them. Let that sink in. They have no light in them. Just think of the vast implications of this statement. This means that all people who have been led to believe that the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, the very same Torah that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai, are changed and are abolished in whole and part. Those who believe that the whole Torah, without any additions or subtraction, is not for them, have no light in them. And since the word light and the word Torah, which is our Heavenly Father's eternal truth, are synonymous terms, it means that these people do not have the truth in them. For I, for one, do not want to listen to the teaching of anyone that does not have the light of Yahweh in them. For that means that that person is a liar. Next, Peter tells us the past condition of the heart of these people who now see, comprehend, and believe the light, the words of the Torah, Heavenly Father, and chosen to walk in obedience to those very words of truth. Peter says in verse 10, who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of Elohim, you who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Here Peter's quoting Hosea 1:10, where it is prophesied that the children of Israel, who had walked away from believing, following, and obeying the words of the Torah of life, had, by their rebellious action, alienated themselves from Yahweh. And therefore, they no longer acted as the children of our Heavenly Father, which meant that they were no longer the people of Yahweh. But now, through Yahweh's grace, mercy, and long-suffering forgiveness, Yahweh will once again call them my people. And the only way that they can, or that this can happen, is when the people of Israel, as a corporate body, willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. Verse 11 goes on to say, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, we are to understand that this present earth is not our home, as we are simply sojourning here until our Heavenly Father creates for us a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. And this renewed earth will be our permanent and everlasting home. Peter admonishes Israel and us to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against our soul. Ensure that our conversation among the Gentiles are honest and truthful, so that when they speak against us as evildoers, they may, by our good works, our Torah obedience, which they shall behold, glorify Elohim in the day of visitation. Now, Peter is asking us to do something that is extremely difficult. That is to not be offended when people speak about as evildoers. I don't know about you, but my makeup, my character, and my personality in the past was not to just sit by and let that happen. My personality was such that I would actually stand and defend my good name at all costs. But here we are told that instead of reviling these people, we are to simply ignore their insults and continue to do the works of Yahweh. Continue to believe, follow, and obey the words of His Torah of life, and let Yahweh deal with their hard hearts. I can't say that I've achieved that lofty goal yet, but I am a work in progress, and I'm trying as best I can to do so. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether it be for the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of Elohim, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here we are told by Peter that as representatives of the Most High Elohim, we are to set the example in the places that Yahweh has placed us. We are to obey all the laws of the land that we live in. We can't be hypocrites and say that we obey the laws of the Father, then trash the laws of man. That is one complaint that a lot of people have against the so-called religious people of the world. They complain that they are hypocrites, that they say one thing and do another. Yahweh commands us not to be like that. We are to admonish, and we're also admonished by Peter and by Messiah to obey the authorities, because we are to remember that it is Yahweh that has set them in that position in the first place. Therefore, there is, however, one caveat, and that is mentioned here, that is not mentioned here, and that is understood, and that is that we are to obey all the laws of the land that we live in, except if the law will cause us to transgress our Heavenly Father's Torah life. For His Torah, His law, is supreme. Please remember that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to keep the commandment that the king had made to worship the idol that he had erected. And these four did not obey that man-made law, for it contradicted the words of Yahweh's Torah of life. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Elohim. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Elohim, honor the king, even if his name is Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada. So you're honoring the position, right?
Yeah.
These are very specific commandments, and I believe they come directly from Yahweh. All men are created in the image of their Creator. Therefore, honoring them should come easy. However, we are not to blindly honor what they do if they are transgressing the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. In other words, we are to honor the position that the person holds, but hate their Torah's behavior. Yeah. To love our brothers and sisters should come as easily as breathing. But to do that, we have to understand that we cannot be offended at anything. For our love for the brethren is to cover all things, including the annoyances that sometimes are very hard to take. We have to learn to put these annoyances and our offenses aside, for after all, we're supposed to be dead to self. And dead people have no feelings. We are to turn all of these annoyances and offenses over to Elohim and ask Him to deal with them for us. To honor the king means that we are to pray for him, because he is in charge of the country's well-being. We are to pray that Yahweh gives him a heart that is open to letting Yahweh be in control of his life. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Here we are told that we are to be subject to our masters, and in today's society, that means our bosses, even though there are some that don't seem to deserve our respect. Yahweh wants all of us to live exemplary lives, so that His name is not blasphemed because of our actions. And if we can learn to walk in obedience to His commandments, not complain and murmur about anything, then we can expect a very great reward when we are ushered into the King of Elohim in the 8th millennium. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards Elohim endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Elohim. As I read this, I sense the level of anger rising up in me, because I don't like to be treated badly by anyone. But Yahweh is commanding me, that I must not be offended, and I am to turn absolutely everything over to Him and trust that He will take care of the matter for me. Again, I have to say that I'm not there yet, but I am, like most of you, a work in progress and trying to do the best. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Messiah also suffered for us, giving us an example that you should follow His steps. Those are pretty high boots to fill, but we are commanded to do so. Therefore, I for one would suggest that when this kind of scenario happens in your life, that you are to go to Yahweh and tell Him how you feel. Don't hide your anger. Let it all out. And then ask Him to help you to be obedient to His commandment of not being offended. And I believe that Yahweh will help you accomplish what He has commanded us to do. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask of Him, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Yahweh always delivers what His saints need when they ask Him with repentant, contrite, surrender, and obedient hearts. Verse 22, Messiah did not sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. Again, I have to say that this is a very lofty goal. We, all of us, are to turn all of our cares over to our Heavenly Father, as Messiah did and taught us to do. Then let Him sort out what has to be done. But boy, oh boy, that is hard to do. Matthew 26:39, and Messiah went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Please, nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Nevertheless, that is what we are commanded to do. Therefore, let us start practicing with small things that maybe our friends have done to us, and learn to set these small matters aside. And once we have mastered that, then we can try setting aside something that a person we do not like has said or done to us. In that way, I believe that we can eventually start obeying His commandment to not be offended, and learn to turn each and every problem that we have over to Him, over to our Heavenly Father. Verse 24, who His own self, Messiah, bore our transgressions of the words of the Torah, our sins, in His own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to our transgressions of the Torah, dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, Torah obedience, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Therefore, since we have returned to our shepherd, let us actually act as the sheep that have indeed returned to our shepherd, Yahweh Messiah. Let us set aside our feelings of being offended and learn to turn everything over to Yahweh so that He can deal with it in His perfect time. Amen. Yeah. That's